Me just want to welcome the eye to the platform still.
Thank you.
Yes, yes, yes. So, hey, I'm looking through all your things all over the internet and all over the place. I'm going to tell you, boy, your resume is long, my brother. Long.
But I try, you know, I try to do my part.
It's like you have to put that resume in that chapters and volumes. Because, man, I tell you, the amount of work we're doing at the reggae business and just, not even pan just the reggae levels locally, internationally, you know? And why, just tell us a little bit about your musical history, because I know say it long, and I don't even know where to begin with questions when it comes to that. So just give us a little breakdown of how the whole idea start, and where did you start from, and how did it progress from there?
Well, I started in New York, you know. I lived in New York 1970, and I got a job in this record store on St. John's Place by the name of Keith Records. That's okay. What I was a part-time job I did after school, where I developed the love for music, also the appreciation for good music. In a record store, you can see what people really love or people reject.
Right.
I ultimately ended up buying the store, owning the store for myself. So that was my first venture into being an entrepreneur. Then I started to distribute songs for Mrs. Pottinger, Lee Perry, Gussie Clark, who was instrumental really bringing me into the music industry, Spider-Man, Joe Fraser label. And then I from distribution, I decided to go into production, because I figured if I knew a song was a hit, I could try making a hit. So I decided to go to Jamaica and started to produce my own stuff. That's how I really got into production. That's a brief synopsis of, you know, how I got to production.
Oh, you started, yeah. Okay, so I mean, when you started out now, and now you're facing the production line now. Who was the first artist that you brought in to Vicen on your thing?
Joy White, the first person that I recorded a song called "Please Stop the Line."
Ah. Okay.
And then I actually did three songs on my first foray into producing. It was Joy White and Ronnie Davis and the Itals and a young group by the name of the Studs.
Okay.
I don't know where they are now, the Studs. But that was my first foray into being a producer.
All right. And then, so what years are we talking now that this production started?
Production, it started 1978. Production started.
All right. And then once you moved on now, how is it that it came about that some of these other artists started coming to you with all these other names like Marcia Griffith and Romaine Virgo and those kind of things? Did they?
Well, that was further along the way, because we moved from Ronnie Davis and then we started to record the Mighty Diamonds, mm-hmm. which had the first hit song, Heads of Government. And then we recorded the Tamlins, which we did a song that was a big hit in London. Actually, it was distributed by Island Records, Don't Break Your Promise. Mm-hmm. We did songs with George Nooks, We're in This Love Together, that was also distributed by Island Records in London.
Okay.
So, then we started doing other stuff. Marcia Griffith actually came around in about 1986.
Okay.
So these people I'm talking about, these were in the early 80s.
Right.
We did the Audrey Hall, One Dance, the response to the reply to Barry Salmon, What One Dance Can Do.
Right.
We did the One Dance. That was a major hit, the British top 10 hit in London.
All right.
And the subsequent follow up, Smile, also a top 10 song in London, in the national chart. Then we did Just Don't Wanna Be Lonely with Freddie MacGregor, which is also a national chart hit in London.
Mm-hmm.
So most of my major success was really in England, you know. And then I decided to come to Jamaica and live, because I figured this is where I'm gonna, this is gonna be my profession, to be where the raw material is, and the raw material is really the young artists. So I decided to make a studio in Jamaica, And the fact that it was on the second floor of the building, the top floor, we call it the penthouse.
Whoa. So that's how he got the name.
Yes, that's how I got the name.
All right. So, I mean, how long total now has it been that you've been in the business as a producer completely?
From 1978, so much for you, that
So that was the,
78,
okay, so that
88,
was
92,
the
2008,
so that was the birth of the whole thing.
34 years.
Okay, so that was the official birth of all of it. All right.
Well, the official, yes, 1978, and I've actually been a producer, but I've been in the music business from 1970, in the sense that I was working in a record store,
Right, 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 right.
learning the craft there.
Right. So I guess over the years you've seen a lot of changes in this business, and not just with the
Oh,
music
yes.
itself, but with the business itself.
Yes, I have seen a lot. I also contributed to the development of the music in the States, in New York. The whole thing started in New York.
Yeah.
When I went to New York, we hardly had any music being played in New York. So I have to give this gentleman, Ken Williams and Gilbert Bailey, a lot of respect for their contribution to the development of the music in the States.
Right. So I mean, right now, I mean, what's in the works going on right now? Is there any big projects you're working on right now, or is it just kind of regular everyday pumping out the music same way?
Yeah, we just everything about Penthouse now. We just record every day,
Yeah.
so we don't really have to sit and sit. And we're gonna have a project doing. We're all recording, so when it's time for to put together a project, we're really not scrambling around. We have material, so we're actually having Master Gibbs album coming up. It's a 2 CD album track of collaborations with different art DJs. And singers, we are this young artist Torch. We have actually we're trying to, all right, because of the state of the industry, we have to try and break new artists, because it's the
Right.
same old artists going over and over and over. We
Exactly.
did not in not really making the industry grow. So
Yeah.
we have to somebody have to invest in new talent, and that's always been the mandate of Penthouse. We have over the years we have always invested in young, talented musicians, artists, and engineer.
Right.
So I say this to say that we have young artists like Torch, Sugar, Escaliva out of Canada.
Yep.
We're doing tracks with Busy. We're actually working doing some tracks with the Tana now.
Yeah.
We're doing tracks with D Major,
All right.
the young artist by the name of RC. So a lot of young artists we're trying to develop, because one of the problem our industry is having is that a lot of the artists aren't prepared for stardom. Stardom happens to them, and then they don't know how to handle it, and it
Exactly.
creates a problem when they go on the international stage, and they don't know how to behave.
Right.
So we have to start develop the artists that when stardom does occur, they're at least prepared and know what to do.
Right. Well, I mean, so now with the young artists that you're talking about, how do you find these artists? Do they present themselves to you, or do you guys kind of do like a, what do I call it, like a scouting to find these artists?
Sometimes they stop you for audition, and sometimes they are recommended. Like Romain Virgo, we saw Romain from the Digital Rising Star series, and there's a young man by the name of RC. He was a winner of the Tasty Talent contest in Jamaica
Okay,
also. But other people we recommend. I left out Sherita Lewis also as a part of the new artist that we're developing. I can't leave her out.
Well, see, I mean, like, Mod Vibes is a platform where we bring up a lot of new artists, a lot of new talent, a lot of people who maybe even have just one tune, and they present it to us and we put it out there and everything. And I mean, if any of these talents were looking to try and do any work with you or any of the other bigger, like production companies, what would you recommend to them? Because I mean, some of them don't have this big bag of money, they don't have the exposure that they really need, but at the same time, them really serious about the business. What recommendations would you have for them?
I can only speak for Penthouse. I normally listen to new artists at the beginning of the year. I will take the month of January. I will audition, and I will listen to CDs being submitted, and then I say, okay, I'll pick one or two, because you have to bear in mind that
it's an expensive
there's
process.
There's so much airplay that you can get.
Oh yeah, yeah.
On the radio, so you put in, you can't take too many new artists at the same time. So you have to try and get the artist to a level of acceptance by the disc jockey. Then you can try and bring in another young artist into the system.
Right.
So you have to be very cognizant of that. You know, we can't just have a lot of new artists. But I listen to new artists in January.
Right. Right. Okay. No. Just a curious thing, you know, because I mean, there's a lot of. I mean, even as we're sitting here talking right now, there's probably at least a dozen to a half dozen, you know, artists sitting listening to this right now as we speak. You know, so. Just like from a man who's been in the business for a while, what kind of advice do you have to give them still? Because I mean, some of them, they're fighting hard, but you know, you know, the business is difficult already. So as a man with many years of experience under your belt,
you have to keep knocking on doors, and you have a properly labeled CD that a person can listen to what you really have to trying to offer. You know, that's basically what you have to do. You know, like in any job you're going, if you look at a job, you have to go and knock on doors until you get accepted. So the same thing in music. You know, you have to just keep knocking on doors and persevere at it. You know,
right, right.
Just be persistent.
Okay, all right. So Swoji.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. For real. For real. For real.
When you listen and put in your words.
I just tuning in. You know, I mean, we have none other than, you know, the icon, legendary juicer. You know, what I mean, Mr. Donovan Jermaine from the Penthouse label. You know, what I mean, and as you heard, if you know, what I mean, those who was listening before and those who just coming in, pure hits, man. Some of the greatest artists them that ever used the reggae platform, and such as Barry Salmon, Wanda, I mean, Bojo Bantan, Macabra, Cutty Ranks, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. So, yeah, Mr. Jermaine.
Yes, sir.
Once again, sir, welcome to the Modvice platform. You know, because trust me, it's a pleasure to have you on the platform, especially at a time like this here as the reggae fraternity. You all know that the music is not what it was before, you know what I mean, especially when, you know, he was producing Bojo Bantan and them guys back in the days, you know what I mean? So, my question to you is this. Working with Romy and Virgo as a new artist who was discovered on the digital platform compared to a Bojo Bantan, you know what I mean? How was it like in respect to working with both artists?
Well, basically the same thing, you know, because both of them are young artists and nobody really knew about. So there's not really any great difference. The most important thing is that they were eager to learn, and they were prepared to put in the hard work. So it wasn't really, it's not really a great difference between both of them, you know, because both of them are very talented. One's a DJ and one's a singer, but they're very talented people. Because Romain Virgo is actually the future of our industry, you know. He just needs the effort of all the disc jockeys all over the world. But if you listen to his work, for a young man, it's outstanding. Lyrically, melodically, it's outstanding.
Okay, and I can say this, you know, because a lot of times, especially in the entertainment world. The production, so to speak, you know, the computer age right now still, and we're not going against technology, but at the end of the day, you know, we want to be able to feel the music, I mean, and get a precise life from it. I mean, and that's not what's going on right now.
I myself am a producer. 80% of my work is actually live drums. You know, I do sometimes use the drum machine, but I say 90% of my work is really live drums, a drummer in the studio. And, you know, it's just, sometimes I use a drum machine for a different sound, you know, but live drum is where I'm at with the music. I try to add the human element in the music.
So would you say it is much easier to record a song now than then?
in the sense of, I don't understand that question, because it's the same process. It's just a matter of what has happened is that the advent of the computer, every little person have a computer in his house, figure they can make a song. So we don't have that much quality control, hence the problem with the substandard songs that you hear a lot coming out. You know, because first time, mostly you have to go to an established producer to go to the studio. But the person have a computer at home and Fruity Loops, and they just be making beats and the friends singing and actually, you know, putting it out in the marketplace, and then people see so much junk. The good songs sometimes get gobbled up by the amount of junk that's surrounding it. You know, so it's easier. It's easier because a lot more people involved in the music now than when I just started.
Definitely. So working with Itana, I mean, how do you see Itana as a art? You know, what I mean, do you see her as having some kind of longevity, or artist that's gonna break up?
Yes, man. She's very talented. She has a beautiful voice, nice image. And she has a lot to say from the material that you hear her putting out, and her material is from the heart. You know, she sings things that she has seen and lived, so that's very important also. So I foresee a good future for her and Romain.
Okay.
One of the problems also before you get out of this topic is that the disc jockeys and the radio, you know, they contribute to the what's happening in the music industry too, you know, because well, sometimes I hear them playing some songs, I wonder where they hear is at, you know, because boy, I wonder what they're listening to when they play some of these songs, you know. Don't say you can't support new artists, but you must support a good song from a new artist. Now, just because the artist is new, you're going to pay the song because a new artist and a new song. The disc jockeys are the last barrier before the general public hear the song. So if the disc jockey on the radio play the song, and like I say, millions of people listening to you and you play a horrible song, it only helps to mash up the business, you know.
Definitely. And I mean, you have some very established name, you know, we want to touch some topic, but I know Beres is a producer as well. Freddie and all them, man. How was it like working with those men, especially as a producer, knowing that they are artists and producers? How was it like?
Well, the most important thing in a situation like that is that these established artists respect your opinion, you know, and they allow themselves to be produced. When they come to the studio, they come as an artist. They don't come as a producer, artist. They come as an artist. I am the producer. When they're doing their own thing, they're the producer artists themselves, but they respect your opinion. I remember doing a song with Greg Rizaks, and when he came out of the studio, you know, he said to me, "Boy, Jeremy, you know why I love record for you? You would tell me when I make a mistake. Other people just record. I don't know what a Greg Rizaks song, but you would say, no, I don't want that." And that is very important in really between the artist and the producer making a good song, you know.
Definitely.
You just want a song from a particular artist. Artist coming in today, I want a Barry Saman song, I want a Master Gravy song. No, I want a good Master Gravy or a good Barry Saman song. So together, we have to put the right together to get this good song. That means they can't just, a situation where, because they name Barry Saman, I should name Master Gravy, so I'm singing the thing and I'm just going to take it. No. And I think I'm not going to do that. Because first and foremost, I'm not a fan of the artist. I'm a producer whose reputation is at stake also. So I have to protect that. I have to protect the Penthouse name.
Definitely. And I want to answer this question because I see whereas, I mean, I personally know sisters. I mean, there's so much different labels. You know what I mean? But Penthouse has standout. I mean, tremendously, and I've tapped all of those labels over the years. I mean, what kind of formula you generate to keep that going, so to speak?
All right. You know, God give everybody a gift. And God didn't give you the gift of probably what you're doing here on the radio. God gave me the gift of having of a general feeling of when a song sounds good. I do not play an instrument. I cannot sing. But if you sing a song for me, I can tell you if this song sounds good or not. I can basically tell when the engineer, if it's mixed properly, I can tell if the musician is playing something that is melodically intoxicating to me. So that is what the gift that God gave me. But outside of that, everybody has to set a standard for themselves. Now, I tell the artist, you know, when they come to me, I'm not going to lower my standard to accommodate you, because that is no good. You have to climb up to my standard. Because at the end of the day, it represents both you and me. And I set in the bar at this level, you have jumped the bar. Just like a high jump. If you can't jump over the bar, you're out of the race. You're out of the event. So that's how I look at it.
Yeah. Definitely. So as a veteran producer in our business for so many years, more than 34 years, you know what I mean? Looking at some of these young producers, I mean, who you think be able to hold the button or carry the torch in the next millennium?
Shane Brown. Without a doubt. Yeah, without a doubt. One of the problems our industry is having, you see, is that with the advent of cable TV in Jamaica, everybody see this MTV Cribs and all the artists and producers, them together, that's their aspiration, to have these million cars and them big house and things. Everybody want to make hip-hop music. But they don't realize there's a million kids in America trying to make hip-hop and can't get through. So why you think you're going to come from Jamaica and get into that system? They're not going to allow into the system. Our thing is very unique. You know, our music is unique, and that is what endears to people. So we'll just try and make it a little better and be more professional in how we're doing it. Mm-hmm. You understand me? And that is, we are not being professional as it is right now, because everybody wants to make the hip hop and the misbehavior and getting in trouble with the law and stuff like that. So you find that a lot of reggae artists now are bands are coming out of California and Europe. And people, very soon, when they come from those parts of the world, and not from Jamaica, if we don't buckle up, you know, that's what going to happen to us.
Definitely. So this is the thing now, because, I mean, I look back in the days, you know what I mean, the 70s and the 80s, when record, I mean, last, we have legendary you Brown, you Foot Brown, and the platform, and you know what I mean? Speaking about record sales and all of that, and at one point with certain hits, he couldn't even contain it, you know what I mean? Based on the fact that he had allowed VP Records, that was back in the days, you know, Sonic Sounds and all of that, they did change them to help assist in distributing it. What do you feel about record sales now, especially coming from Jamaica? I mean, the artists, them, as far as getting record sales, what are the criteria they need to do? How you...
Well, like I said, I think, you know, if it's a natural progression of things. I remember it was 8-track, then went to cassette, and then it got to CD, now it gone to iPod and the computer. People basically, I look at my son, and I remember I took him down to the studio one day, and he looked at a turntable and asked what it was. And I said, my goodness. And he was about 10 years old. Mm-hmm. I asked him what it was. So this new generation of people, they're not going to buy records. They want to download stuff to their phones and to their iPod and to their, you know, whatever the computers that they have there. Now, because of that, the vinyl is slowly dying out. We are trying to get our stuff on iTunes, in Groove, and other download places. The problem is that we need to get people to understand that they must pay for the music, because if they don't pay for the music, very soon there won't be any new music. Because if a producer keeps investing his money and he cannot make it back, like in any other business, they're going to go to business. So when they keep going to these free sites and downloading, they're not really contributing to music, new music, you know. So they have to, that's one thing we need to really educate your listeners, that you support the artists, because that's how they're gonna be motivated, back in getting paid for their work. Because if you keep downloading this thing for free, ultimately they are gonna go away. And that's a reality.
Definitely. And we often have that problem as well. And many times I speak on that as well with some of my dearest partners internationally too. I mean, and majority of the time we just sit down and try to get a full overview of what is really going on, you know what I mean? And as we all know, technology changes each and every day, you know what I mean, and the whole nine yards. But nevertheless, the root, you know, is always the base of everything. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I just say still, we can't, technology is going to be there. It's like I said, it's a natural progression. But it's just that if you love an artist, support the music of the artist by buying the music. Just don't download the music.
So basically, you are saying no, music is not selling as reggae music, and no reggae music selling at a particular moment.
I'm not hearing that because I looked at this discussion online a while ago.
Yeah, no, I'm saying based on what you just, there's no reggae music selling at this moment, so to speak.
Well, if you look around, the amount of, there's very few record shops that are left. And VP is the only label that's really doing anything with our music now, you know. Because all the major labels have left the marketplace in terms of reggae. Because they don't see the viability of it right now. And that's the reality, you know. So what's happening right now is that we are trying to establish these new artists by giving away the music. That hopefully they can be accepted in the marketplace and they can come and do a show and earn a dollar. Because they're certainly not earning any money from the sale of records, because it's not really a non-existent situation now.
Mm. Man, that is so sad though for Nose. I mean, remember back in the days, so much record used to sell compared to now, you know what I mean? It's really sad. But nevertheless, you know what I mean, we can't blame the consumers, we have to blame the people who are responsible for the music. And as long as the music is right, you know what I mean, I know me personally, if me hear a song and it's right, I'm gonna go get it, no matter what. But that's $10.
You say that you do that, but a lot of the kids, they just don't wanna pay for the music.
That's so true.
Even if it's a good music, They just don't want to pay for it. They figure it should be free.
That's it. I remember.
That's a reality.
I remember back in the days when I used to save up my money a week time, you know, for every Friday go buy two record and all them thing there, you know.
Yes.
And I mean, you know, at them time they done, nobody no want to spend the money upon it again, and it's like they just want everything for free, and then they get vexed when they can't get it for free.
But,
I mean,
but I must say, still on the other side of the coin, still. You know, not just to bash the consumers alone, but even the producers, like I said, some of the work really substandard, that you don't really want to own the thing, you know, and take it home, because some of the stuff that you hear, they're not really family friendly. Because I remember growing up, I used to hear my father playing songs in the house, buying the music and coming and playing it. As a parent now, some of the songs you hear now, you don't want to really take it home and play it for your kids to hear. You know, you don't kind of want to let them contributing to the more degradation of them, you know. So it's a two-edged sword still, you know. But there's still good music being made out there. You know, and like I said, because the disc jockey is not really, you know, giving total attention to the good music they're just playing, because they might hear a Vibe Scott or a Movado or a this, and there's good, not if they don't make good songs, you know. But sometimes they just play the song because of the name of the artist, not on the merit or the quality of the song. And that is what really mess up the thing. A song must be played on its merit. The quality of the song must be what dictates that you can play this song. Yep. Not just the name of the artist on the song.
You know, I saw a quote the other day that I just have to say. I don't even remember where I saw it, but it was something about, something to the effect that you are always looking to get a deal or something free from your friend, but you'll pay a perfect stranger money for something. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, really and truly, if you support the music business and you like the music that you're hearing, why can't you take that 99 cents or that $2.99 or that $3, $5 to go buy the music? Instead of just trying to get that thing for free, and at the same time, you know, say that artist did not make no money if you're getting your music for free.
Exactly.
I don't know.
It's a total re-education that is needed, and when our disc jockeys need to come on board, when they play the songs, we need to keep reinforcing this in the listener's psyche, you know.
Yeah.
And just play the songs and You can say, boy, go and support the artist. Buy the music.
And I mean,
don't load it.
Me being me, so, I'm gonna make a very bold statement, and I'm gonna say that a lot of these new hurry come up DJs over the last few years have made it much worse. Because really and truly, these guys don't know enough about music to really look for the music, you know. They just look for the hype up music that's happening now. And they don't know nothing about the old school days when we had to go run around with look of 45 and big box of records and go in a dance go play. They don't know nothing about that.
In Jamaica, we call them pouches.
Ah.
Because they talk about another little pouch. They don't know what vinyl is all about. You know, so you see, they don't know, like you said, they don't know the history of the music, you know. So it is to the detriment of the music. And like I said, they play based on the name of an artist.
Exactly.
As opposed to the quality of the song by the artist.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, these guys,
Jeremy, this is something that's been troubling me for the longest, you know what I mean? And every time I get the opportunity to shed some light on it, you know what I mean? I always bring it out, whether me or Madman. Now, based on the music system in Jamaica, I mean, we know a lot of artists. We hear the music out there, and we know the quality of the music is. Now, we get a full fledged understanding of the appeal of it, so to speak. We know that this is going on for years, but as any partner, really personnel approach you as a high producer in respect of paying them to play any particular artist's music.
Well, here's the thing with me now. My philosophy in that is, I have made my contribution to the music industry. You see? When I have a song, I make certain I give it to every disc jockey that I know. And I email it to all the disc jockeys that I have in on my mailing list on the computer. My position is this. By virtue of my contribution and the standard that you know exists on my label, I shouldn't even be talking to you about playing the songs. You understand? You should be figuring that, well, all right, we're the quality artists making quality songs. You should be want to be a part of this. No, I'm not going to call you and beg you to play my songs. And I don't think I should be doing that, because if you are really into this music or putting the music first, you're going to want to try and play the quality stuff. And that's not saying that I'm the only person getting quality stuff in it, but I'm just using myself as an example. Now, you're supposed to want to play something that makes sense, because the better quality songs that you play on your radio is the more listeners you're going to attract to you, people going to come in and enjoy your program. The problem is that sometimes in Jamaica, you listen to the radio, you can hear the payola on the radio. You understand me? You hear it. because they compromise the program by taking money. You understand me? So when you hear a song on the radio, you can say, "My God, how they playing that? What kind of song that? That's so fool." But you know why it is, why what is being played. You understand me?
Definitely.
So, like I said, my song, somebody out there in the world must appreciate a little quality and will play it somewhere. That is my philosophy. And I'm not going to call them bigger and I'm not going to pay you to play it. You understand? Because I'm saying that if I have people like Marjorie with Barry Salmon, these stalwarts in the business, recording, you should gladly play their songs. I should not have pay you to play their songs.
Definitely. And one of the reason why I brought this up, you know, is because many times, you know what I mean, we to different artists, young and veteran as well, and you know, they go through the same right now. I mean, they can't even get their tune on certain radio station because the DJs them want to play the music, and I think that's not what they did. You know, the exploitation of the music should stop, because that's what's in the reggae music right now. And you know, every time I speak on this, I always bring up certain things that can reflect on this. Listening to David Radigan some time ago, speaking about the same thing, you know what I mean? And it was quite sad to hear someone of David Radigan caliber, you know what I mean, speaking about this. Even though in respect to everything he said that Romain Virgo was one of the artists that would be able to bring to establish the reggae music to a whole different level, you know what I mean? And in that you are the man that produced Romain Virgo. I heard Romain Virgo speak highly about you as well, and in respect to you guiding him as a young artist and explaining to him what the outcome is and where he should be at the time. So, you know, but it's a good thing. It's a good thing, Donovan, and trust me, you know, me say hats up to you, you know what I mean? I mean, he's a well-known person in the music industry, and you have contributed so much. Because I often ask the question to, you know, what have, you know what I mean, when I have certain people on this particular platform, I ask them, what have they done in respect to contributing to preserving the culture of reggae music and establishing the culture of reggae music? So I'm going to ask you this question. If you were the Prime Minister of Jamaica, because we all know that the government don't support reggae music, what would you do in respect to establishing the reggae music fraternity, change the reggae music fraternity, and be able to preserve the culture of reggae music, so that the younger generation of artists and those that you have worked with and have been working with can be able to get a proper platform in respect to their music being played on the radio in not having to pay these particular personnel?
Well, I don't think the government can even stop what's happening, you know. One of the things that the people that are involved in the music industry have to understand, that you have to put the music industry first. Because if you don't have a music industry, nobody will know of them. God, there's no music industry. You understand me? The only thing that I think the government should do, or one of the things that the government should do, is that the government should really contribute a state-of-the-art auditorium that can seat 5,000, amphitheater 5,000 people, that people can put on them clothes and go sit down and watch a night reggae concert. That they think it should be their contribution, because the music has done so much for the country in terms of bringing tourists to the country. I think that should make a auditorium amphitheater situation fully equipped that people can go to and listen to Marty Gerrits or Barry Salmon in their nice clothes and sit down and enjoy a show. That I think they should do. But I want to go back to something that you mentioned earlier about the payola and the disc jockeys. If you notice, all of the major international hit songs that are from Jamaican artists, all of them originated outside of Jamaica. You know, I want to check that. You know, all of them originated outside of Jamaica, in the sense that they were recorded in Jamaica, but it was the Jamaican disc jockeys who made them hits, you know, international hits, you know. It was disc jockeys that played from the Caribbean, Florida, New York, because these people weren't involved in payola. the song sound good, and then play the song, and the audience heard the song and love the song and made it to the hits. You understand? Mm-hmm. That's a serious indictment against the diss track in Jamaica, you know.
Okay.
They have not made any hits that came from Jamaica and crossed the Atlantic and come back into the world, you know. It come back from outside the world to Jamaica. When the Jamaican diss track started to react to the songs when they became hits outside Jamaica.
So Jeremy, now that you touch that topic, and I'm going to say this because you see the thing is, I myself hear another artist who is here in the States and elsewhere always said, hey, if music I play on Jamaican radio, it's not gonna be a hit. And I think that's one of the most stupidest said.
No, sir.
On them mouth.
No, sir. Then Sean Paul tune them, brought it up. Egyptian song. No, that brought it up. Everyone, time to make sure everyone's fighting love. Although some girl abroad, you know, they didn't start in Jamaica. You see, with the advent of internet and things, yeah, some songs to Jamaica, a person might listen, hear a song because them listen to them want to listen to IRFM and them want to listen to thing like that. But because of the quality of the songs that them playing down there because of the payola again. You not gonna really hear the good songs then. And a man play a song for 3 weeks and then move on to something else. So you can't make hits like that, you know. You have to play a song consistently for the public to really buy into the song and then make a hit. But if you play a song for 3 weeks and move on to something else, you can't make no hits. That's why in America they say the amount of spins, they say the amount of spins you get on a song. The more spins you get, is the bigger the song becomes. Mm-hmm. But if you play a song for three weeks and move away from it, really, you can't be a hit. So that's some issues we have in.
So Jeremy, now that we touch a topic, what valuable advice do you as a veteran have for these particular radar jacks who's not doing what they're supposed to do, per se?
What can I tell them? They not think about the industry, they think about themselves only.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see. And you see the thing about this, you know. Them say music alone shall live. So after a while, if you keep compromising your program and people ultimately going to get tired of hearing the drum while you're playing, you know. So they're going to move to another diss track, okay? So you going to end up losing your prime time position because the boss can see your numbers not right because people not listening to you, and it's because you're compromising your program. So ultimately, they end up getting them just rewards still, you know. It might take a little time, but the music still go alone shall live. And like I said, the music is far bigger than them in Jamaica. You know, this is a worldwide music. It's not just Jamaica alone, it is. So We just say as a producer, well, let's make sure all the distractions out of the world have your song to play.
Most definitely. And this is something else someone touched topic with still. It is very serious. I mean, looking at hip hop music, and we all know where that's come from. We can go out to Houston knowing that the legendary Kool Herb, you know, I mean, who is a Jamaican as well, who came to the States in the early 50s. Whole 9 yards and established a particular aspect of the culture with African Bambaataa and those guys. Now, compared to the hip-hop music, you know, once a hip-hop artist goes into the studio to make a song, you know, automatically it's going to sell records. So why can't the Jamaican artists do the same? Do you have any solving for that, really?
Well, you see, it's a different culture. It's a bigger marketplace. A more structured marketplace than our thing. Well, one is the producers just do them little thing and them try and sell some record. Whereas in the hip hop, the major labels are involved in the distribution of the product. If you checked, you know, whenever, like if the major stations in America play, really get behind a reggae song, it always hit, you know. You realize that?
Mm-hmm.
It always hit. But they're not going to allow a lot of it into the system because they can't control it. But sometimes, every now and then, some of them get through. And if it gets played, it becomes a hit. You know, but the our industry is so structured that they can't control it. And people, again, the people that is involved in the industry, they're not prepared business with certain business principles. And yeah, you dealing with these corporate people sometimes. If you said 9 o'clock and you turn up 11 o'clock, automatically them figure say, you're not on the business. Because if you have a 9 o'clock meeting and you turn up 11 o'clock. One thing I know, so the white man tell you say I'm going to come 9 o'clock. If you're going to be late, I'm going to call you until you say I'll be 10 minutes late. Because I respect your time. But we just say, well, sure, I'm afraid for we to reach there. We put ourselves above the music, the music. So until we start put the business and the music first,
yeah,
we have a problem.
Well, that's what a lot of people don't realize, that music is a business. I mean, as much of a a thing it is where people go out dance and then go enjoy themselves and all of them things, they don't realize all the work and things that go behind the scenes. And that really, it's a business. You're not going there for go spend money and just watch the money just disappear. You know, the money have to make. You know?
No, but this is, one of, like I said earlier in this interview, that our industry is, all right. I'm going to put something to you. I went to school in America, you know. I went to high school and college in America. Mm. So I'm a little bit more equipped than the average person in our music industry.
Yeah.
Most of the kids that come out into our industry, they don't really have much formal education in any great heights, you know. So they're at a disadvantage right away. So if they're not in an environment where they are it's structured and they're prepared, like I say, prepared for the business, they're not going to act any old way when they come out, you know. And you come into the world of people in a structured environment, corporate environment, and you start acting a certain way. After a while, they can't bother that, you know. They don't need it,
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's a problem we our industry have in terms of development of the people that are involved. Because we did not look at seminar to teach for teacher or one teacher one of us, boy, this is how we're going to act. You know, when you're right now you have middle labels, don't want you know move from the Jamaican people, you know. Them don't want no.
Definitely.
And it's sad that we have a music that is so infectious, and because of the person that is involved, the carpet world don't want to deal with us because them figures we're not professional.
And not only that, they don't want to invest money because they feel so they're not going to make their money back.
Yeah, because we're not professional.
Yeah.
We're not prepared to do the work. Because right away we get a little money, and we want to floss right away and we want to go to the club and we want to buy the most NFCs and show up on one another. And the record comes and you need to do some promotion for 2 weeks. And I say, boy, I can't buy it, no, I have to go. Me do 1 week and him come to Jamaica for the next week and I flash to them friends then.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the record don't tell him, so, boy, the record company don't do nothing. Then I say, well, boy, I never do my part.
Well, the same thing with our talk with Hugh Brown last week and said some of the man them, they want to be on the band, they want to do all the shows that they get paid for or whatever, but they don't even want to come to the rehearsals. Because
yes,
you know they something they have something to do with them baby mother. They have to go take them picnic to go to the doctor. They have to do this. They have to do that. But
yeah,
when it come to the show now, when it come to pay time, they're there. You know.
I will tell you something. Where I witnessed the idea. Celine Dion came to Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
Big artist Celine Dion. And I think as well, there are things well structured. And Celine Dion come on the venue, come sound check. You know.
Mm.
And she kept the venue. She didn't buy the venue. You know, she was still at the venue until showtime.
Yeah.
Because she didn't want to get stuck in the traffic to come out to the venue. She did her sound check. see the venue to show time. You see our artists them, some artists them, go which way nobody with sound check. Them can't believe that. And then when them come on the stage and the thing not sound right, they them start cussing and say, boy, this old engineer for this engineer for that. Them not gonna say I didn't come to the sound check.
Or if they happen to do sound check, them go and go bun two spliff, go check two friends and come back and I'll even come late for the show when the time comes.
Exactly. Yeah. So the next thing I get about investment in self. You understand me? Yeah. They only want to know so they're going to do the show and collect some money. But they realize, you have to ensure collecting more money. You have to make sure your thing right at every step of the way.
Yeah. Well, it's just like any other business. I mean, the business don't just land on your lap. You have to work to make your business work. I saw the thing said.
Exactly.
You know, nobody now going to just make it work for you. You have to put in your work. You have to put in the time and the hours and everything to make it happen. You can't expect, say, I'll show up when I feel like it. Or, you know, if I don't make it today, no worry yourself. Maybe I'll show up tomorrow. You know, them it doesn't work like that. I mean, no business can't run so.
I'll cut you, but this is something I experienced time ago. Into certain artists at Jamaica, right? And, you know, oftentimes they send us their music, they want us to market and promote it at a whole different level. Now, you know, being that we have certain international selectors and DJs and radio personnel that are signed to us on a whole different level, and they have come up with certain techniques, so to speak, that they use this to break records. That's why now, and you just bring it out. I mean, I want the people to know, you know what I mean? We have the legendary Donovan Jermy on the platform tonight, and then really I shell out a whole heap of things that need to be heard, you know what I mean? Because these things have been going on for years and years, and no one want to say anything. Everybody want to bite them lip and accept the effort, you know what I mean? And the riffraff as those people. And I personally asked these guys, I said, listen to me, these particular selectors and radio personnel, they need certain material and they need it in this particular form. You know what I mean? Let's say a special or what they would say a duplet. And these guys are throw out $400, $500, $600, $700 for a duplet. Do you think that is fair in respect to the artist who cannot sell a particular record to charge someone $700 for a duplet?
If the charging the distract is for duplets.
Certain things. Yeah, like I mean.
Well, it's all come back again to, like I say, the development of the artist. Because you see what I do? I my artist, when record a song, there are certain distractions, we always do a special for the artist, for the song. Because all right, you in lieu of you, I'm going to pay you some money to pay my song. You going to like to have some drops from the artist help to enhance your show. You going to want to have a song where you can play and say, it call your name. It make your thing have a little more special. We do them things for the distraction for free. We never charge a distraction for that. My artist said, once you know you're a legitimate breathe a personality and you request a drop or a special, we're going to do it for you.
Yeah. Question that came out from one of our listeners, I'm going to ask you still. Now, with the dubs now, I mean, obviously for certain people, I mean, if you're sitting there doing a full promotion for this artist, I mean, that's a different scenario. The artist should, you know, try do something for you because you had to do something for him, you know? But yeah. If like say even just dub plate prices nowadays, wait, what's your take on that? Because some of them man there really are charge some big money for them dubs, you know.
Well, you see, but you must understand one thing, you know. One thing I know, you know, growing up in America, you don't have to buy it.
Yeah.
But if you keep buying it, you know, what you expect?
Yeah.
You don't have to buy it, you know. You tell me, boy, no, that was in my pocket, that was in my reach, you know. If ultimately everybody start doing that, I'm not a supplier demand, you know. Ultimately, they have to drop the price, you know.
Do you think it has anything to do with the way how the music industry is set up? Because these guys know that they're not making any money off of the tunes that they're selling. The only money they're making is off of their drops or their dubs or them shows. Do you think that may have something to do with the pricing, or you think it's just
no?
The
plan some people just them value this. But you see, sometimes the Mr. Chin tell you this, you know, him say, quick see a small profit. Yeah, because you see, you can't price. If, like I say, if a man come to you and you figure, say, this dove don't value $10, and you know it in yourself, it don't value $10, why would you buy it for $10?
Exactly.
You can't blame the artist.
Yeah.
That's being asked for it, you know. Well, you must have yourself, boy, I'm not getting paid $10 for it, you know.
Yeah, man, I mean, not for the artists them come crying about, oh, how come nobody know why I buy me dubs, me not sell no dubs, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, look, you know, you see...
Because it's too expensive.
Exactly. If you drop your price from $500 to $300 now, you're gonna get more business. And instead
exactly.
Of, instead
so
of
you, that's you must tell them.
Exactly. And it's not like you're losing money. Because how much it costs for studio time? Not that much for putting one dub.
They're not losing nothing.
Some of them even have their own studio. You know what I mean? So, I don't.
But
know.
But still, like again, that is you guys create that problem. You're not the artist, them. Right? Not blame them because the artist get asked for something. If you either you're going to say yes or you're going to say no, you have the option to exercise the option.
Yeah, man. I mean, I don't know. The business itself has just gone so far different directions that I don't know, man. I mean, you look at it and you feel says sometimes you can't even. You feel so the thing can't even fix, you know? But, I mean, that's why I
don't believe that, you know.
Like this.
I went to a school named KSC in Jamaica. They said, the brave may fall, but never heal. So, I mean, I heal.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is...
You know, you see that quote there, the brave may fall, but never heal. As an ex-military personnel, too, you know, I rephrase that. Because, you know, as a soldier... You used to be the principal of the KC at one point as well, and you know I was explaining to my colleagues some time ago in respect to that. You know what I mean, when we was in certain training and one of our fellow colleagues got injured and you know by supporting the cause. You know what I mean, we said the brave may heal but never fail. Yeah, as I said,
maybe not heal.
The heel is not the slowing down, you know. Is you know what I mean? So you know, is that the slowing down? You know what I mean? The healing is when you get injured and you know that injury gonna heal, but you're gonna accomplish the mission because you're not feel. So it's not feel. Exactly. So it's basically
intend to feel.
Real. So, yeah, so once again, ladies and gentlemen, you know, if you guys just tuning in, you know what I mean, we're having a nice time here with the legend, you know what I mean, one of the producers of all time, Mr. Donovan Jermaine, and for all those who was listening and who is still listening, you know what I mean, you heard, you know what I mean, some of the most exclusive things that he just said in respect to what's going on in the music business. And I can tell you, some of your sound man, they were wound up from some of them artists, yeah. I'm going to tell you something, you know, because you see, the thing is, what more I want to know is this. I'm going to ask Jeremy and this in a few still. Is that music is bigger than everybody. No one is bigger than the music. I want to acknowledge. You know what I mean? And if you look at some of the greatest who have the reggae platform, I'm like Bob Marley and all of those other guys, because I can't talk about Bob Marley, you know what I mean? And you know, to the mission that he was on, you know, I mean, establishing the business and the reggae music on a whole different level, whereas we, after the day, can be able to take up the baton and carry it on. So, you know, so some of your sound man out there, if you don't call artists, I want to play it, telling them $700, I don't want to pay it. You understand me? I'm telling them that right now, you know what I mean? They have to be able to contribute to their own development. And if you don't know an artist want to work with Rockstone or Mad Vibes or work with Donovan, we're not going to come good. We're not depend on the riffraff thing. No riffraff thing around here.
Yeah, burn the riffraff. Yeah. Burn the riffraff.
Yeah, no riffraff thing around here. So now, Donovan, this is the thing now. No, this is the thing. Compared to Ayak Teen, a Cartel... I mean, I can't even come up with another name because I mean, I'm starting a new work, starting and stuff. Now, compared to this, so compared to a price in respect to chart performances, do you think these guys worth $20,000 and $25,000 for sure?
Politics that. Look here, again, it's a slight door plate, you know. I don't really want to put a value on any man's talent. I'm going to ask what him figuring talent is worth. But at the end of the day, as business people, you, as a person who's going to keep a show, must do your maths and say, will this individual sell enough tickets to pay that $25,000 that they're asking for?
Mm.
That is the most important thing of us. A man can ask for anything, you know.
That doesn't mean he's going to get it.
But it's you as the person who's going to pay for the service. Must do your homework and say, is this person really going to, am I going to get back $25,000 worth of ticket sales from this person? Because if you're not going to get $25,000 worth of ticket sales, why are you going to pay the $25,000 then?
Mm-hmm.
That's the reality of it now. Why are you going to pay if you know you can't make it back? You're going to do it because you figure, say, well, you want to have this man on your show. You can't want to have this man to the detriment of your pocket. It's at the end of the day, like I said, it's a music business. The promoters are financial. It's also a business. You understand? It's also a business. So you must know when you do your maths if it makes sense. So it's not a matter of say, I agree and say, if him worth it or anything. I'm going to ask for it. And you can't, someone, if you can't blame a man for asking for top dollar if him figure, say, him worth it. But you must know if him have that value to you.
Definitely. So you see, once again, from the legendary, you know what I mean, in a year again, because oftentimes we traffic on these things, because I always say, you know what I mean, if I'm going to book a particular artist for an event, if him can't sell the ticket for me, I look for himself. Furthermore, let me check for him criteria and he can't ever sell a 1,000 records. What the hell am I booking him for? I'm not going to lose. You know what I mean? And I always say this too. A lot of people go on YouTube and all of these online channels and see 2 million hits and this and that, and that don't compute rather to record sales. You know what I mean? One person can have hit that up all 50,000 times. So remember that. You know what I mean? And there's ways how to check if there's any record been sold or has been selling. So people, on a listening, you know, on a year, some very exclusive things tonight. I want to have some of the most, you know, legendary people in who involved in the business for years and bring out some of the most acclaimed artists that you guys love so much. And you know, one of these particular person is Donovan Germain. You know what I mean? The head of Penthouse. You know what I mean? The icon producer. And it's a pleasure having him on the platform tonight because, you know, we need to hear these things continuously all the time. And this is what the Mad Vibes platform is all about. This is what Talk the Things platform is all about. And as all you all know, each and every Tuesday, 8 to 11, I mean, this is where we at with me, Soji, CR Rockstone Production here in New York and Mad Vibes Radio up there in Montreal, Canada, the headquarters. And as all, I love call the statistics. That number can represent itself. So, you know, we have a platform like this, you know what I mean, that people gravitate to. Millions and millions of people all over the world, you know what I mean, 179 countries and climbing of the world, and locally, you know what I mean, 1.7, 1.8 million, including Toronto, Montreal, Winnipeg, and all the different provinces across Canada. You know what I mean, it's something great is going on, and we need to support the cause, and our cause is to promote the right music. I mean, bring the right artists to the platform as well and the right people who have been involved with the reggae music business over the years, like Jermaine and a host others. You hear Hugh Brown last week and a host others as well. I must say, too, Donovan, we had Dan Youth on the platform about a week and a half ago in respect to, you know, I mean, some of the music that he has been coming out with. And as we all know, Dan Youth is a platinum artists, you know what I mean, gold and platinum artists, and I've not seen any of those what I would say, attached to any other artist come out of Jamaica, you know what I mean, in respect to the age of music to the day. So I must give up my art to Dan Youth. And I want to ask, how do you feel about Dan Youth as an artist now? You know what I mean, doing so much channel, so much futures, so to speak.
Well, in all honesty, you know, here's the thing with me now. I don't even know what Dan Youth going on with, because I'm in my wonderful world in the studio, you know, because every day I just go into the studio and I lock up and I try and make a song. I don't even listen to the radio, because, like I said, in the radio, Jamaica, if you listen to that, you get confused and the foolishness. So I don't even listen to the radio. So I don't know what Dan Youth has been going on with, but I remember Dan Youth from in the early 90s when I went at Penthouse. I did some tracks with him, and then he left and went abroad. So I have not seen him for quite a while, you know, so I don't really know what he's been up to. You know,
I know you have some monstrous hit with Dan Youth as well too. So people, you know, some of Dan Youth's first hit comes from Donovan himself right here too. So yeah, of course. So Madman, what go on, Madman? Why you the silence for the next side? What go on?
Why me die? You know, me die. Yo, well, me I listen, me I prep up my things for the ladies them later, you know?
Okay.
Me I do a little bit of everything.
But what kind of advice you have, not just for the artists them now, but for the producers? I know I heard Madman ask that before, but, you know what I mean, I'm going to ask in a different context. You know what I mean, what kind of valuable advice, you know what I mean, you have for the producers them who want to come and say, yo, you know what, I want to be like a Donovan, you know what I mean, a Donovan Jermaine. I want to see if I can put out music like a Donovan Jermaine. What kind of advice?
All right, my advice, all right, like when I came to the music, I became an apprentice to Gussie and Lloyd Campbell from Spider-Man. In the business, you know, you have to have an apprentice.
Donovan, hold on. You just put some name. I'm going to break this to the people. I've got enough people to even know who Gussie is. Gussie Clark. You know,
the music world.
Okay, all right.
So I was an apprentice. Them people, I learned the production aspect of the business from Gussie and Lloyd Campbell. In the business, you're supposed to have an apprenticeship period. You learn from somebody. Me think so. Well, then, if you want to be a producer, you try and link up with a producer who have some level of success, and if you can appreciate the kind of music that they make. He goes, boy, you know, I want to learn to be a producer, you know. Can I be an apprentice? I don't have a problem teaching anybody anything, because you can't die with knowledge. You must pass on knowledge. You understand me? I don't have a problem with that. But that, I think, is one of the basic problems that we have. Everybody that gets up on the screen and you know, them piece and say, they're a producer. And they go up on the computer, book, make two little beats, and like I said, beats, you know, make music, you know, make some beats, and say, them is a producer. You understand? So, if you're a doctor, you have to go through your residency up somewhere with some senior doctors and learn. That's it, go.
Definitely.
Yeah, so, and it means, I think, if you're an accountant, you have to be a junior accountant, learn. If you want to be a carpenter, you have to go learn with a carpenter. If you want to be an electrician, you have to learn another electrician. Them teach you the ropes, the thing. Yeah. So why not music too? Well, everybody get themselves a producer.
At the same thing, you have to creep before you walk. So I mean, you have to learn the things before you can just jump.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So that would be my advice to them. Link up with a established producer, go in and learn for free. Sitting and know, see, they'll learn this thing. I'm going to learn.
Yep.
And sit and learn the thing the right to you. Because producing is not just making, just going in the studio alone. You have to know when engineer mixing a song, if it mix properly, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, some songs you hear them, you mix like it mix it fuck.
not even that some chopstick.
Them thing it's important.
Definitely.
That's very important.
Well, that's a key point you touched there. You have to do it properly. You know?
Yes,
I mean, not everybody can just jump up and decide, say, I'm going to do something and just push it out there. Because if you do it wrong, you have to go pull it back and do it again. And it doesn't make no sense. You know?
And so. I'm going to tell you that thing, you know. I'm going to tell you something again. Advice to artists. If you get up tomorrow morning and you say you're sick, you will look for the best person who can help you, you know, sir. The best doctor who can help you.
Exactly. Well,
that's it. Yep.
You gotta search and find. You gotta do research until you find the doctor that is most qualified to help to try to remedy your situation.
Right. You're not gonna find the one from the classified section.
I see with the artist, you know, when you are, if you are a singer, in a message, you are a singer, and because that you're gonna look for a producer that is good at producing DJs, them can help you. That you're a singer. Uh-huh. You have to look for a producer who's proficient at making. Dealing with singers.
Definitely.
Yep.
So
I love what you word that, because you know a lot of times people tend to stray away from the reality of what things is. You know what I mean? And get caught up into the illusion aspect of
the hype, yes, because like put you to that go on and the label go on, but you might make pure DJ song. So oh you ever gonna sing as a DJ?
It's like you have a headache and you go see a foot doctor.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a lot of things that needs that really makes the industry. You know, I'm careful. Producers have to be careful. Artists have to be careful. Distractors have to be careful. Promoters have to be careful. Sound system and everybody has a part to play, you know. And if everybody do them part the right and proper way, you know. We have a good industry, now.
Well, that's it. You
definitely.
Know? And I mean, I circle back to that same word that, I mean, well, there's two different expressions. I mean, Soulja love the riffraff term, and me love the hurry come up term, because the two of them all really right. Kind of mean the same thing, because the two of them, I mean, so everybody just want jump in at the things, and like you said, they just want to skip the creeping altogether, and just jump into the thing, and hey, yeah, me a producer, yeah. Me a this, me a that, and you know, I mean, they really. I mean, a lot of times the artists put their confidence in these people as well, feeling that they're professional about what they're doing. And then what happened now is they come in there, they sign up contract, then do this, then do that, and then turn around and say, "Oh Lord, what the hell did I do?" So I mean, the same
thing. Due diligence. That's why.
Yeah, and I mean, at the same time, I mean, I circle back to the same thing all the while, and just tell the artist same way every single time I come on this platform, and tell the artist and the same thing: research, look into things. Don't just jump on the first person that comes to you with a check in their hand. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
I mean, that's the.
You must
that's
look
the,
at the, yeah. who what is the accomplishment and the person you're going to sign? What have they accomplished? What have they done to the in the industry?
Yep.
What is the accomplishment?
And the funny thing is, it's actually Jack Huer that said it the way the other day when he comes and says, "Yo, just show me your resume. Don't use me for your practice. Don't use me for your practice. Practice before you
there
talk
you
to me." You know what I mean? Yep.
Definitely, and I must say, you know, me, I just send out some special requests and some special big ups to our listeners over there in Springfield, God, New York, you know what I mean, Freeport, New York, Spanish Town, St. Catch in Jamaica, you know what I mean, Portmore, St. Catch in Jamaica, we have Montana, you know what I mean, we have from Dubai, we have in Ontario, we have London. San Jose, I mean, Massachusetts. I mean, there's so much people listening to you right now. I'm Jeremy. It's unbelievable. So you know, it's a great thing having you on the platform, Jeremy. And trust me, we want to bring you back again, you know. But before you go, what do you have next? You know, I mean, I hear mad relaxed, but what do you have next in respect to Christopher Martin and those other artists? I mean, how far do you see they going from here?
Well. Look at it this way. They have talent, right? And they have to just be committed to the craft and be dedicated and decide to put in the hard work. It's not an easy role, you know? So they have to, if they want to, all right, I always say to my artists, you have two options. You can have a career or you can have a time in the business. Which one you choose?
Exactly.
Hmm.
Yep. Yep. Do you want to just be a here today and gone tomorrow? Or do you want to...
Yeah, you want a career.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, exactly. You made a choice.
Exactly.
You know, so yeah, whatever work you put in, that's what you're going to get from it.
Yep.
Never been said better, Jermaine. And Jermaine, trust me, like we say, you know what I mean, it's a pleasure having you on the platform tonight. And Jano, you know what I mean, you gotta stay and talk. He's a busy man, and you come up some time with the family and all of that as well. And you know, it's just a great to having you here tonight, you know what I mean, definitely, to just share some of your experiences in involved in the music for many, many years and your great contribution, because I say, you have contributed a lot, you know what I mean? Why? Because you have brought some of the acclaimed names that we love so much to the forefront in respect to the music. You have produced some great music, and you have still been working with a lot of these young acts that you see has potential. You're constantly pushing them to the forefront as well, and I can say you wasn't a leaper, you know what I mean? You walk up all those, and you really, really, you know, sure, you know, the world and the Jamaican people, them up all over that you know, you are who you are, and what you do it because you love to it and you're passionate about it, and you're true to it, you're not new to it. So you know, once again, it's just having you, man, and we can bring you back again, respect to it, and enough thing again. Yes, sir, that's my brother.
Yes,
come on, respect, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man, some mad man.
Support.
Yeah, man, you don't know, because, yo, and before you go, I'm going to tell all the people them again. Yo, people, buy records, man. Buy them. Stop, download them for free and support the artists,
yeah, man.
Them.
Yeah, man, support the industry, man.
Yeah, man. So, yo, my brother, is again, it's been a pleasure. We're going to make sure, so we'll bring you back again sometime down the road, and we're going to talk about this thing further again, you know?
All right, man. No problem.
All right. So, yo, yeah, take care of yourself.
Big up to all the fans that listen out there.
Yeah, man. All right. Enough respect.
All right.
Bless.
Take care.
Bless.
Yeah.